Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, or saints from branch churches and the local sanctuaries, such as CN viewers and all children of God who attended the worship online, this is the 11th lecture on Genesis. In the last lecture, I explained the names of God the Son. I also explained the difference between a focus on the outward from and a focusing on the heart. We also look at the prophecies in the Old Testament about the coming of the Holy Spirit. Among them, Ezekiel chapter 36, 26 to 27 clearly shows what kind of a work of the Holy Spirit will accomplish when He comes to the hearts of believers in the future. It says that the Holy Spirit will remove the heart of the stone from your flesh and give you heart of the flesh and cause you to walk in the statutes, and you will be careful to observe the ordinances. When we are in the flesh, our hearts are filled with the pride and the sin, with our own righteousness and the framework. This means that the Holy Spirit removes the hard heart of the flesh, the heart of the untruth and the evil heart, and now changes it into heart of the truth, a spiritual heart. That's the Holy Spirit does. He helps us keep God's commandments. God tells us to follow His law. So many people go to church but do not circumcise their hearts. Such a people need to look back on themselves. They must check whether they've received the Holy Spirit or not. If they have received the Holy Spirit will gently change their hearts, help them abandon even the former evil, teach them what righteousness and the sin are, and make them aware of hell, so they will abandon their sin and believe with their hearts, leading to righteousness, as Romans chapter 10 says. They do not simply understand the Word of God with their head, but believe it with their heart, confess it with their lips, and achieve salvation. When the Holy Spirit removes a hard heart and gives you a soft heart, it means that He helps you cultivate your heart. Along with this, the main role of the Holy Spirit is to help God's children follow God's laws. While God the Son plays a role as a Savior, God the Holy Spirit does as the Spirit of a Helper. He divided Himself into many to help the children of God to live by the Word of God. Tonight, I will introduce the names of the refers to such a roles and the attributes of a Holy Spirit. First of all, there's name that emphasizes His role as the Spirit that helps, which is His original duty, is the helper. The helper means that He is one who protects and helps the believers. Our Jesus was also played a role of the helper when He was on this earth. Jesus said in John chapter 14, 16, "I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may be with you forever." The words, another helper, the Holy Spirit helps us to reach heaven, staying with us. As Jesus was saying that God would send the Holy Spirit, He refers to Him as another helper. It's because Jesus was also playing the role of a helper. In addition, Jesus said in John chapter 14, 26, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you." Jesus explained what kind of a work the Holy Spirit would do, who would come as a helper. He said that the Holy Spirit would teach all things and bring all that Jesus said to remembrance. So when the disciples stayed with Jesus, they did not understand what he said, even when he explained it using parables. After the Holy Spirit came upon them, the disciples began to understand one by one what Jesus had said. So the Holy Spirit teaches us everything and reminds us of everything that Jesus said. All that Jesus said is the truth. It's in this way that Holy Spirit teaches us in the truth and leads us into the truth. It's because the truth itself is the attribute of the Holy Spirit, just as 1 John chapter 5, 6 says, there's a name that emphasizes this attribute of the Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth, as in John chapter 14, 17. Jesus said, that is the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him, but you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. The people of the world do not know, see, or feel this Holy Spirit. God the Holy, God the Holy Spirit was separated from God the Origin, who is the Word itself. I told you that God the Holy Spirit is separated with the same heart, thought, wisdom, and the power of a God the Origin. It is same with the Holy Spirit, who is the divided entity of a God the Holy Spirit. However, the children of a God who are forgiven of a sin by believing in Jesus Christ know the Holy Spirit is because the Holy Spirit himself dwells in their hearts. Now, I'm going to tell you how the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of the Wisdom, works as a helper. First, the Holy Spirit helps the children of God to be assured of the love of Father God. There are some believers who say they've been practicing the faith for 5 or 10 years or that they've faith since birth, but they do not feel the love of God. If the Holy Spirit had come upon them, he would help them know and understand who God is and who the Lord is, so they would naturally love God and know that he is the one they must love first. Do you know why should we love God first? God is the Father of our spirits. And since we were born on this earth by his giving sperm and eggs to our parents, we must naturally love God the Father first. Moreover, to us who were sinners, he gave his only begotten Son, sent him to the earth, and sacrificed him himself on the cross to atone for our sins. So, of course, we must love God the first and Jesus Christ the first. It's so natural. Since we've heard of this fact, we've seen the wonder signs and the powers. We know that the Bible is true. How can we not love God? Of course, the first things to do is to develop a loving heart. Such a people live according to the Word of God. Therefore, the Holy Spirit enables God's children to be confident in the love of God the Father. Romans chapter 5:5 says, the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. This is the way the Holy Spirit let the children of God realize the love of God the Father all the time. And he makes them firmly bound in love with God the Father. The Holy Spirit gives us the strength to live according to God's will on this earth. We should be aware of the fact that the Holy Spirit works so hard until the children of God properly realize the love of Father, God the Father. Romans chapter 8, 26 to 27 says, in the same way, the Spirit also helps us our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with a groaning too deep for words. And He who searches the heart knows what the mind of a Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit cherished the children of God who has been bought with the blood of Jesus so much. And so He takes care of them so delicately as not to lose a single soul from among them. If there are souls who are like a smoldering wick, He keeps on pleading with God to revive the souls. The Holy Spirit seeks the Father's forgiveness and the mercy with a sigh and a sorrow that is even greater than that of the person involved. In addition, the Holy Spirit pours the spirit of repentance upon the souls who are too weak to turn back from sin. He helps them realize deeply once again just how great the love really is that God has given them through Jesus Christ. In other words, He helps them remember the love and the turn back from sin. The Holy Spirit knows well the weakness of our souls. Through the moving inspiration of the Holy Spirit, He helps those with the weak hearts. The original duty of the Holy Spirit is to move the hearts of our souls to repent in this way and to change their heart to love God the Father. This is most important and the greatest duty. For this reason, the Holy Spirit has more humanity than divinity when He was separated from the original God. This is to understand the heart of the souls better and to help them in their situations. The Holy Spirit is fair and of just, however, at the same time, He comforts the heart of the souls with a much mercy, kindness, and love. Because of this Holy Spirit, God's children can feel the heart of God the Father more deeply. As they come to love God all the more in their hearts, they can try harder to live by the Word of God. This is the first roar of the Holy Spirit who works within our hearts. Second, the Holy Spirit makes the children of God His voice and supervise their hearts to lead them into the truth. The Holy Spirit gives God's children His voice. However, you do not hear, "I am the Holy Spirit," because it's the voice from your heart. So let's try to listen to our hearts. I've already taught you how to hear His voice. Anyone can hear His voice. The reason you cannot hear the voice is because you do not obey the word. You can hear that voice only if your life always involves abandoning evil, changing your mind to the truth, and cutting off worldly things. If you love God, you will cut off something belongs to the world. On the other hand, if you still love the world, it is because you do not love God. Anyone who loves God and renounces the things of the world can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, regardless of whether they are learned, rich, famous, or not. I hope you look back at yourself again. Do you truly love God? If so, how much have you cut off the world? Are you boldly abandoning the world and the healing towards the Lord? Are you praying fervently? Are you changing your heart to the truth? Are you becoming more gentle and virtuous? It doesn't make sense if you live like that, but I cannot hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. If you live like this, the Holy Spirit will definitely let you hear His voice. In John chapter 16, 13, Jesus said, "But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into the all truth." The Lord clearly tells us what role is the Holy Spirit will play. Some people say they hear God's voice when they are not living according to God's will. Dear members, the voice of God is completely different from the voice of the Holy Spirit. The voice of the Holy Spirit comes from our heart, but you can hear the voice of God yourself. First of all, not everyone can hear the voice of God. This is a voice of God that let those who are heading toward the holiness hear His voice when God informs them His special providence. Therefore, not everyone can hear it. Then how can the voice of the Holy Spirit are heard? The Holy Spirit as a being of the personality who dwells in your heart tells you about something concrete or reminds you of the words of God who is the truth, or He reminds you of a message or examples you heard during the worship. Or He reminds of you the message of examples you heard during the worship. In other words, if you know the verses in the Bible well or memorize them, the Holy Spirit will remind you of it specifically. In other cases, you may hear the Holy Spirit tell you especially what to do and what to say. For example, Acts chapter 8, 29 says, "The Spirit said to Philip, 'Go near to this chariot.'" The Holy Spirit said to Philip, "Go near to this chariot." Riding that chariot was a powerful eunuch who was in charge of the Ethiopian treasury at the time. The Holy Spirit knew this and had Deacon Philip preach the gospel to him. Next, what does it mean to receive the guidance of the Holy Spirit? This means the Holy Spirit is making you want to do something. Those who listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit can do God's will because He helps them understand the word of God, word of the Bible in any situation. For example, the Holy Spirit makes us think, "I need to pray, I need to fast, and I want to help someone." He also has you choose more about what is for God's benefit. In Acts chapter 16, 6, the case of the Apostle Paul, the Holy Spirit forbade him from preaching the word in Asia. He was under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. When we obey what we hear through the voice of the Holy Spirit or what we are guided by, we are receiving the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Even though you have given His voice, if you do not obey, it's of no use. If you do not obey the two or three times, you will no longer be able to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Then you will not be able to receive the guidance. If this is your case, you should deeply repent about it. Disobeying the Holy Spirit means disobeying the Lord and God the Father. When you repent it thoroughly, you will be able to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit again. If you have made up your mind to pray for something, you need to receive that answer too. If you believe that this is the Holy Spirit's guidance and obey and do it with all your heart, then this is the guidance of the Holy Spirit. That is, you communicate with the Holy Spirit. So we call it, we communicate with the Holy Spirit. When we hear His voice and we are guided by the Holy Spirit. Those who communicate with the Holy Spirit often experience seemingly impossible things becomes possible, and their potential flourishing more than ever before. The degree of this communication depends on how much you've established the truth in your heart. Either you may communicate with the Holy Spirit 100%, or you may do it only 10%. Why is there such a difference? The difference is how much you have entered into the Spirit and achieved the truth in your heart. If you have filled your heart with 100% truth, that is, if there's no form of the evil and your heart is all truth, you are 100% governed by the Holy Spirit, which means you are living a life of 100% obedience. Let's say there's a great mathematician. Even if he has a doctorate in mathematics, he will not be able to teach mathematics at his level to elementary school students. Can math doctors raise their children to become a math doctor within 10 years? The same goes with the foreign languages teachers. Even if they know foreign languages very well, they teach students according to their level. The teacher and the students can communicate within the appropriate level. The same applies to the hear the voice and the Holy Spirit and the receive the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives you as much as of a voice as you can obey within the level of a truth you have achieved. As you listen to the world, it's essential to grasp its meaning and analyze it fully. This will open you up to the Holy Spirit's guidance. Because the Holy Spirit supervises the truth that is in the heart of souls. In other words, you cannot hear the voice of the Holy Spirit to extend you've untruth in your heart. Those who have more untruth in their hearts can hear the voice and the guidance of a Satan better than that of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, it's very important to obey even small truth right away to fill your heart with the truth. Obedience is not difficult if you continue to obey like that. You will also discern your thought and the voice of the Holy Spirit. If you begin to obey the voice of the Holy Spirit, at some point you will no longer need to discern whether it's your thought or His voice. You will intuitively distinguish. Therefore, through the deeds of obeying the truth, their faith can grow up. However, even though you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, if you don't recognize it or obey it, you cannot change beyond your current state. They cannot go into the deeper level of the spiritual realm and they will stagnate. I urge all of you to obey the voice of the Holy Spirit and go into the Spirit and the whole Spirit all the more quickly. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit can teach the children of God as He were a personal tutor. He can also instruct them in something or tell them about the future. The Holy Spirit teaches you like a private teacher. Lord? Who? Yeah, the Holy Spirit The Holy Spirit tells us what to do or what will happen in the future. For example, Luke chapter 2:26 says, the Holy Spirit lets Simon know that he would not see death before he had seen and had the Lord Christ revealed to him. What does he mean to say that he will not die until the Savior is born? It means that he will see the birth of the Savior. The Holy Spirit teaches us the things in advance like this. So our Jesus said to his disciples in Luke chapter 12:11-11, when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not worry about how or what you are to speak in your defense or what you are to say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hours what you ought to say. A case is found in the Acts chapter 4 that proves these words. After Peter and John healed a man who had been lame from his mother's womb, when they preached the gospel, the number of the men who believed the gospel came to be about 5,000. As the number of the believers who grew up, the priests and the rulers and elders put the apostles in jail. Then those who were in the high priestly descent gathered and criticized the apostles, saying, by what power or in what name have you done this? Then Acts chapter 4:8-9 says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if you are on trial today for a benefit done to a sick man, as to how this man has been made well, Apostles Peter boldly proclaimed that Jesus is the only Christ. He said, as in Acts chapter 4:10-12, let it be known to all of you and all the people of Israel that by the name of the Jesus Christ and Nazarene, whom you crucified, who God raised from the dead, by this name, this man stands here before you in good health. He is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the chief cornerstone. And there's the salvation in no one else, for there's no other name under the heaven that has been given among men. In this way, as the Holy Spirit had been speak, the Apostle Peter boldly proclaimed that Jesus is the Christ. Now, how would those who arrested Peter and the other apostles react? Acts chapter 4:13-14 says, now, as they observed the confidence of the Peter and the John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus, and seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they had nothing to say in reply. Likewise, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you can courageously preach the gospel no matter how threatening the situation is in reality. The examples are the speech of a deacon Stephen, as the Acts chapter 7 and the testimonies of Apostle Paul, as in Acts chapter 22 and 26. As you may know from having read it, even before the eyes of the Jew who were bloodthirsty, Stephen courageously preached the gospel. Apostle Paul, even though he was arrested, also preached about the Jesus Christ he met before the governor of the Rome and the king of Judah. Stephen and Apostle Paul could do it not with their personal wisdom and ability. They could boldly do it with the power and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, if you are soft-spoken or you are introverted, don't worry about it. if you receive the power of the Holy Spirit, you too can boldly preach the gospel just as Stephen and the Apostle Paul did. It's not you who does it. You should let the Holy Spirit who dwells in you do it. John chapter 16, 13 says, "But when the Spirit of the truth has come, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you things to come." The only who knows the future is the advances of God the Father, and depending on the time, God the Father informs His children who are pure in heart about the future. Amos chapter 3, 7 says, "The sovereign Lord will do nothing without revealing His secret to His servants of the prophets." The verse in the Bible we just read is from the Old Testament, so wouldn't it apply to the New Testament? This is God's word. God said, He will do nothing without revealing His secret to His servant, to the prophet. It's applied the same in Old Testament and the New Testament. Because the Holy Spirit is one in heart with God the Father. He knows what will happen in the future. Therefore, those who communicate with the Holy Spirit can know about the future. Dear brothers and sisters, fourthly, the Holy Spirit gives gifts and power appropriately according to the vessels of each believer. A gift is a gift of a grace that is given for free. 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit are listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 8-10. They are the word of wisdom, word of the knowledge, gift of faith, gifts of healing, the effecting of miracles, gift of prophecy, and the distinguishes of spirits, gift of various kinds of tongues, the interpretation of tongues. Some people confuse the gift and the power to heal, but the two are very different. The gift of healing can be received even without the complete sanctification. If you pray and yearn passionately, you too can receive the gift of healing. However, it's limited to healing disease caused by the bacteria. And there's also ability. Ability is a level below power, but in order to have a soul accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, you should receive the ability at least and the power. The gift of healing is not enough. These are the gifts of God as a seeker prepares a proper vessel of hers. The gift can be given either temporarily or permanently. Jesus said in Acts of, chapter 1:8, "But you will receive a power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witness both at Jerusalem and all Judah and Samaria." In other words, you must receive the power to become a witness of the Jesus Christ, our Savior. However, the power is like a sharp sword, so it's granted only to those who can use it for good. How amazing is God's power? You cannot use it carelessly. When you receive the power, you can revive the dead or change the weather. It comes with a tremendous spiritual authority and the power. This power must be used only according to God's will. You should never ever use it at your own discretion. If it's used even slightly for selfish purposes, this world will in a big trouble, so God does not give His power to just anyone. Therefore, the power of God is given us to those who completely obey the will of God. This means that God can give the power to worthy people who are sanctified without any evil. In addition, this power cannot be given unconditionally even to those who can completely obey in the goodness. It can be given only when they have piled up the countless fervent prayers of those who love souls like our Lord and are devoted to the kingdom of God. They realize that the kingdom of God does not consist in words but in power. So they have no choice but to ask honestly and passionately. When their prayer of love and faith are reached as set by the justice, the Holy Spirit will finally grant them the power. Once this power of God is given, it's a permanent. Dear brother and sister in the Christ, now I will tell you about the final name that refers to the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of His Son, as Galatians chapter 4, 6. It says, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Here, His Son refers to the God, the Holy Spirit. Just like God the Son, the Holy Spirit was also separated from the God the origin. Since this first division of a spirit, God the origin became God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit becomes His sons. Therefore, the most fundamental title of God the Holy Spirit is the Son of the God the Father, as I explained in the third Genesis lecture. And I said the Spirit of His Son refers to the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of God the Holy Spirit. However, there's another reason that the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of His Son. Galatians chapter 4, 6 says, because you are sons. It means that the believers, all the children of God, that they are sons of God. John chapter 1, 12 says, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become a children of God, even to those who believe in His name. That is, for those who believe in Jesus Christ. As I said, once you become a child of God, you can call God the Father. However, in order to call God Abba Father in perfect way, you should go into the Holy Spirit and become His true child. Those true children who come into the Holy Spirit can confidently call God the Father, and they can also call Him Abba Father in a better intimacy. Like this, the Holy Spirit teaches us in the truth until we come into the Holy Spirit and become a true sons and daughters. He helps to understand the heart of God the Father and resemble Him. Likewise, this focusing on the work of the Holy Spirit who brings up the children of God to become the true Son. In the next lecture, I will start to explain how God the Trinity created the spiritual beings that are necessary for the spiritual realm. Dear brothers and sisters in the Christ, it's taken quite a while to explain how God the origin was divided into the God the Trinity. However, I believe that you've now come to understand the roles and the duties of the God the Trinity very well. How faithfully and without taking a rest God the Trinity has been working from the time before the creation till now. David sings in Psalms chapter 36, 5 that God's faithfulness reaches to the skies. He also sings in the Psalm 112, 1, 4, behold, He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. For a very long period of time, God the Trinity have been managing their respective roles and duties faithfully without changing. They've done it only to acquire the true children with whom they can share true love. Therefore, I ask all of you to circumcise your heart faithfully without changing. And then may you come before God the Father as a true child who become the pleasure to Him. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centuries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and the internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases, such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes, and the deaf come to hear, and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns, and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.